Hello and welcome to Over the Counter, a podcast from Drug Topics. We have a very special episode for you today. It's the final episode in our ThoughtSpot 2021 series. Our guest host is Jenny Zilka, president of Good Neighbor Pharmacy, who will be leading a conversation with Brian Nightingale, president of Community and Specialty Pharmacy and Long-Term Care at AmerisourceBergen, and Julio Borzacca, managing director of Alfega Pharmacy. They'll be comparing independent pharmacy industry trends in the U.S. and across Europe, including global legislation, drug shortages, top priorities for the future, and more.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to today's discussion in partnership with Drug Topics. I'm Jenny Zilka, president of Good Neighbor Pharmacy, a network of locally owned and locally loved independent pharmacies across the U.S. I'm so excited today to be joined by my colleagues, Brian Nightingale, president of Community and Specialty Pharmacy and Long-Term Care at AmerisourceBergen, and Julio Borzacca, managing director of Alfega Pharmacy, the leading network of independent pharmacists in Europe. Thank you both for being here. I'm excited to have the opportunity to speak with these two industry leaders as we reflect on the evolution of independent pharmacy across the globe, how we've responded to the new challenges over the past year and a half, and where we go from here. So before we dive into this global conversation, Julio, would you take a moment to share an overview of what Alfega is and how you support independent pharmacies in Europe?
Thank you, Jenny, and really pleased to be here with you and going through and explaining a little bit more about also the European market. But let's start with what Alfega is. Alfega Pharmacy Europe is a comprehensive membership service to independent pharmacies and the provider of added value services to pharmaceutical and healthcare manufacturers. Our aim is to improve the health and well-being of communities by delivering a future vision for independent community pharmacy and supporting our pharmacists in their role as recognized healthcare professionals and not just the retailers of medicines. Alfega and its associated networks now counts close to 10,000 independent pharmacy members, making it the largest European network of independent pharmacies. It is present in 10 countries: the Czech Republic, France, Spain, the Netherlands, Germany, the UK, Italy, Turkey, Romania, and Portugal. So, in brief, what does Alfega Pharmacy do for the member pharmacies? Well, by joining Alfega Pharmacies, a pharmacy business retains its independent status, but gets access to a wide range of support services, such as branding, business management training, professional services, digital solution, and IT support, all of which provides competitive advantage to its members to support and increase revenues and profits through improved customer footfall, increased basket size, and improved operational stock efficiencies. Additionally, every pharmacy member benefits also from all the personal and online coaching offered by the network.
Thank you, Julio. So interesting to hear you share the services that Alfega offers, as we in the U.S. are always looking to improve upon and evolve the services that we provide with Good Neighbor Pharmacy. To set the stage a bit more, Julio, would you share a little overview into kind of how your pharmacies operate in Europe? What makes them similar or different to the independent pharmacies in the U.S.?
Sure, Jenny. The European pharmacy retail market is very diverse. And although, of course, we have a European community, we cannot really talk about a European market. As an example, out of the 10 countries in Europe in which we operate, 5 countries have regulation allowing retail chains, while the other half don't have. So as you can see, it's a very different situation. Also, the penetration varies a lot. On average, a pharmacy serves in Europe just a little bit more than 3,000 citizens in their community area. But the coverage is not equally spread across the different countries. And for example, you have up to 46 pharmacies per 100,000 inhabitants in Spain, while in Czech Republic and Holland, you have only respectively 7 and 8 pharmacies for the same number of inhabitants. So as you can see, very diverse coverage. But the key point is that almost 2/3 of the European citizen can reach their nearest community pharmacy within only 5 minutes distance. And 98%, so the vast majority of the population, can reach a nearby pharmacy within 30 minutes. The level of services allowed by country regulation is also very different. With some countries like the UK and France at the very forefront of healthcare service provided. As recommended by the WHO healthcare organizations, many European countries have introduced changes in legislation to expand the role of pharmacies and relieve pressure on the rest of the healthcare system. As a result, in 8 European countries, community pharmacies have been involved in the administration of COVID-19 vaccines. We are very proud to mention that the very first 4 pharmacies to vaccinate in the UK and overall to vaccinate in Europe were all Alphega pharmacies. And this was thanks to the fast approval process in which we supported our members to get the authorization to start the vaccination. In almost all countries, people can now access authorized COVID-19 self-sampling kits from pharmacies and or get tested directly in pharmacies. In France, more than 12 million rapid antigen tests for COVID-19 have been carried out since October 2020. In Italy, we also had our Alphega testing mobile vans going around the country and offering testing capacity just in front of our member pharmacies. A study conducted across Europe has mapped 30 pharmacy interventions on COVID-19 by community pharmacies, from symptoms-based referral to home delivery of medicine, pharmacy telephone support to vulnerable patients. And if we look at the issue of medicine shortages, in 6 countries, community pharmacies have been now granted the opportunity to provide alternative solution for occurring medicine shortages during the pandemic.
It's amazing, amazing work. I'm glad you brought up COVID specifically and all of the services and the care that your pharmacies provide to their patients. It's really astounding, especially when you are operating in multiple countries. Brian, I'm going to shift over to the U.S. And, you know, here in the U.S., the pandemic has truly been a time of immense change for independent pharmacies, not only, in Europe, but also here in the U.S. What have you seen over the course of the past year and a half that's really demonstrated the resilience and the adaptability and the value of independent pharmacies in the U.S.?
Yeah, thanks, Jenny, and thanks for hosting today. Maybe if you don't mind, before I dive into that, I would just like to kind of respond to some of the commentary that Giulio just mentioned. We've gotten to know each other over the past several months quite a bit. Our organizations have been learning from each other, and it's just amazing to me how many similarities there are between those independent pharmacies across Europe and the independent pharmacies here in the United States, and especially in terms of purpose, passion, you know, care for the community, customized service, going above and beyond. And a lot of those examples that you just provided, Giulio, are really amazing and just, I think, resemble in a lot of ways similar stories that we have here. And it's just really exciting to see how these entrepreneurs and these community providers across the globe have risen really in big ways to address this global pandemic. And I think it's across both continents, you know, just shows what more independent pharmacies can do in their communities to serve in times of need and in times of you know, normalcy and whatever that looks like these days. But so it's just really enriching to hear, again, how Alphega pharmacies have responded. And then also it's really exciting to see a lot of the innovations and different things that come out of the different countries in Europe and perhaps identifying ways that we can do things different over here in the United States. So again, it's interesting and super exciting to learn about the similarities and certainly the innovations and the best practices that we can share with each other. But Jenny, just kind of diving into a little bit of the US perspective, again, I think what I've seen and what we've all seen here is similar to what Julio just said. I mean, a doubling down of what makes independent pharmacy so special, right? A doubling down on their personal service and the care they provided, you know, even before the vaccines, you know, were available. I mean, you know, obviously pharmacy's response in being, you know, part of the vaccination solution is front and center. But I think what a lot of people don't necessarily realize is before the vaccines were even available, independent community pharmacies evolved. They transformed rapidly. Many of them in the United States had to shut their doors and go to only home delivery or only a curbside pickup. You know, so they had to completely change their workflow patterns, everything, in order to continue to serve their patients, whether that was through, again, COVID testing or certainly just continuing to care and provide medications and counseling for their patients. I mean, we saw, you know, very rapid changes in very unique ways that some, in a lot of cases had nothing to do with medications, right? So for example, many independent pharmacies in the US and certainly most of the Good Neighbor pharmacies have offered, you know, same day home delivery for years and years and years. We saw examples of you know, those drivers, those technicians, you know, delivering medications to a home, calling that person knowing that they were shut in and saying, hey, can I stop off and pick up some groceries? Is there anything else that you need that I can stop off and pick up before I get there with your medication? We saw pharmacies who rally school kids to hand write and hand design thank you cards and thinking of you cards to be delivered with the medications to elderly shut-ins who couldn't see their family anymore because of COVID. So again, those little micro touches that independent pharmacies do every day really kind of came to the forefront, you know, before the vaccines were even available. And then of course, the rapid response and participation of these pharmacies in providing vaccines once they were available was key. And I think we've seen statistics now that, you know, well over 80% of all vaccinations in the United States have been provided through a community pharmacy. And that's important for several reasons. One is, you know, many of our pharmacies are located in underserved and economically disadvantaged communities. And that's been a huge focus of the vaccine efforts here in the United States. I think the latest numbers that I saw within our network anyway was that, you know, well over 50% of all vaccines that were provided by our member pharmacies were provided to individuals who resided in underserved and disadvantaged communities. And so, you know, that access to care, that access to providers is key in those communities. And then also, you know, the pharmacist's role in being a trusted advisor and an expert on these vaccines and help people, you know, get more comfortable with receiving the vaccine has been key as well. So, you know, again, I think you're hearing a lot in what I'm saying in terms of similarity to what Julio was saying. I mean, they just stepped up and really did what they did best and continue to do what they do best, and that is care for their patients. Just real quickly, the other thing that I think has challenged our pharmacies, and again, they have adapted greatly, is how they engage with their patients and their communities during a pandemic where a lot of folks were again not traveling, not driving, and kind of staying at home, and they've really embraced digital engagement. We launched our digital platform a couple years ago, actually about 3 years ago, we saw gradual adoption of that. There's a lot of these pharmacies that are more traditional and kind of stuck with the traditional print TV and radio, which is fine. But over time, they started to embrace, digital platforms and digital engagement. And then once COVID hit, we saw just a rapid uptake of that. And I think that's a positive that has come out of this. So that is the innovation and the adoption of different ways to engage patients, whether through telepharmacy, again, social media, outbound call campaigns, all of those type of things. Now I think are going to be mainstay moving forward. So again, could not be more proud of the response that community pharmacy has had over the last 2 years. And I think there's lots of opportunities to leverage that moving forward.
That's great, Brian. Thank you for highlighting all the amazing work that our pharmacies do. You said feeling proud. And I think that there really aren't words for how proud and honored I feel to be able to work with independent pharmacies day in and day out. Especially as the value of the independent pharmacies is on display like never before because of the COVID. So I would like to shift and focus kind of on the year or years ahead. Certainly seeing some common threads as you listen to Julio and Brian share, the state of independent pharmacy in the US and abroad. And with the pandemic encouraging regulators and professional bodies to accelerate digital evolution, vaccine programs, and in the US, the position of pharmacists. Brian, I'd love to hear from you on where you think independent pharmacy can go from here. What are some of the core priorities you have in your mind as we think about pharmacy customers in the year ahead, and what, how to really kind of take this moment, this unprecedented moment that we're in, and carry that forward.
Yeah, thanks, Jenny. And I think I'll kind of tie it into what I just left with. I mean, if you think about the opportunity that the COVID vaccine has provided in terms of consumer engagement, right? I think, all of our independent pharmacies have a great relationship with the patients that already know them, that have been coming there for years. There's that loyalty, there's that relationship, that's always been there. I think what I'm really excited about is the ability to participate so heavily in the vaccine response has opened up the awareness of many, many consumers out there that quite frankly didn't know perhaps that an independent community pharmacy was right down the street, or didn't know about the level of experience and personalized service that they provide. And now that they've been to that pharmacy, they've seen and experienced that relationship. I'm hoping that these pharmacies will continue to engage those consumers and those patients and bring them back in and keep them, right? So I think it's going to be critical, again, to tap into the digital platforms, to tap into the ability to engage with those consumers in a different way in order to say, hey, remember the great service and the great discussion we had when you came in to get your vaccine. Let us take care of your entire family, now and beyond. So I think that's number one, is to leverage those new consumers and to leverage the new technologies to attract and retain patients. I think secondly, and this is a big priority for us as a service provider, is, helping to promote, diversified patient services beyond that traditional dispense and to help our pharmacies offer and expand clinical offerings, again, beyond that dispense. So, again, they've got the time, they've got the relationships. There's so much more that these pharmacies can provide these patients and communities, and we just need to, help them expand their businesses that way, and certainly advocate and help for appropriate reimbursement and payment for those services. Right now, our reimbursement model is pretty much focused 100% on the dispense of that drug. And we've got to change that. We've got to advocate for fair and adequate, you know, reimbursement and payment for that drug and the dispensing services that go along with it, but also advocate for expanded scope of practice and fair and appropriate reimbursement for clinical services beyond that dispense. And again, vaccination is a perfect example of that. Pharmacies have stepped up and proven they can deliver. And now it's time to expand that to other avenues and areas as well. So, you know, that's the enablement part. And then finally, again, on the advocacy piece, it's you know, taking a strong approach within the industry to advocate for comprehensive reimbursement reform, expanded scope of practice through provider status, and increased awareness of the opportunity that lies within community pharmacies to really impact and increase access to care and reduce overall costs. Pharmacies and pharmacists are part of the solution. They're not part of the cost problem. And advocating and educating legislators and regulators at both the federal and the state level is key, and it's a top priority for us as well. And really that has started to intensify very rapidly at the state level because of the Supreme Court ruling in Rutledge versus PCMA in Arkansas. So again, those are really key priorities. It's helping our pharmacies engage in new ways with their new customers and their existing customers. It's helping them diversify their business beyond the traditional dispense. And it's advocating very strongly for a comprehensive reimbursement reform and expanded scope of practice.
It's great, Brian. Thank you so much. So much there to be excited about as we look to the future. Julio, I'm going to shift back over to you. How about for Alphega? What are some of your top priorities for independent pharmacies moving forward?
Thanks, Jenny. And first of all, I would like to really echo what Brian just said, because it's so fundamentally true also across our all our markets in Europe. And the first observation is that and you know, I couldn't agree more with Brian, is the evolving positioning and image that the community pharmacy has taken during the pandemic, and how really the normal person out there, the normal citizen, has really realized the relevance and importance of community pharmacies. And we really need to build up on this evolving image and positioning of the pharmacies, and definitely advocating for recognizing the value of pharmaceutical services that have proven to improve the quality of people's life, and also to help the healthcare systems that were really under, you know, tremendous stress by offering the service at the community level. And of course, it is huge work that we needed to do all together. The other big thing that came up is, you know, how to better match the personalized care part. So the fact that really there is the knowledge on a one-to-one basis by the community pharmacist, with the use and the mastering of all the digital tools that are now available. And this is where really, you know, is the right marriage between community pharmacies and the support that, you know, we can offer as a network, and offering also those tools that are more innovative in terms of how to reach the final patient. But in Alphega, what we really defined as our key priorities, answering your question, Jenny, is really offering programs and campaigns to encourage the preventive care and the wellness, like we are already doing and we will continue to focus on, like the cardio campaign, the obesity, the diabetes, all those campaigns to really encourage the preventive care. The other big area, and Brian was also referring to it, is really to continue to expand on our vaccination and all our testing services, and expanding the scope of community pharmacy practice to maximize their contribution to patient and health systems. Together with, and I was just mentioning before, is defining the new models of care delivery, really taking advantage of digital technology and offering several services like home delivery, teleconsultation, etc., that really enhance the way that we can reach the final patient. We are very active in Alfeg in offering digital platform to all our members so that they can leverage to know how of large provider while maintaining their personal independency and touch. And just, and those data are for Europe, but I'm sure they could even be probably as, or if not more relevant for the US. If we look at the latest IQVIA survey, when they have asked to the industry executives what percentage of their sales they think they will come from e-pharmacy in the next years, the answer was really between 15 to 30, even to 50% in some specific categories will come from e-pharmacy. So it's really a way to offer also community pharmacy the possibility to be present in a different touch point to their final patients. And last but not least, always and continuing to reinforce the role of the pharmacist in his or her community with all the support that we give, including all the social media support that we are offering.
Thank you, Giulio. And thank you both for such a great discussion today. This was really fun. I have so enjoyed working with Giulio and his team and learning about independent pharmacy in Europe. And as I'm sure you're learning, there are so many similarities and so many opportunities to collaborate and learn from one another. As we close, it's very clear that we are at a pivotal moment in the pharmacy industry globally. And the time is now for independents to use their increased visibility and trusted positions within their communities as a springboard for reaching new goals. It's been wonderful, wonderful to speak with you both. I'd like to offer, as we close, any closing comments from either of you as we close the podcast.
Sure. I just want to close by saying, Giulio, I too have really enjoyed getting to know you and your team and could not be more excited about our path forward together and sharing best practices and bringing many of the great things that you and your team are doing across Europe over here to the United States so that our member pharmacies here can take advantage of a lot of the things that you've built and execute them here. So it's been a pleasure and look forward to more collaboration.
Well, Brian, Jenny, I can only really be extremely glad for all your words that I totally exchange with you. It's absolutely a tremendous pleasure to work with you and also to get all your learning and all your knowledge and really being able to share all our best practices across different continents. What is really relevant is also that we have a common culture, and most importantly, we have really the same passion for the pharmacy and the patient health is really at the heart of everything you do and we do in Europe. And that's really what is probably the strongest commonality that we have. One only point I wanted to mention in addition to everything we said is really what else we can do also for the other big player in the market, that is the manufacturers. We can also provide manufacturers with instant access to all the different members of our networks across all those different markets, the 10 European countries, as well as, of course, the very large market of the US. And we are really the perfect platform for new product development, placement, testing with consumers, clinical trials in terms of acquisition of patients, really an infinite number of solutions that we can really offer to them. And on top, we can really get the real-time product performance and offer all the results and the return on investment performance on all the activities and programs that are run in all our pharmacies across the US and Europe.
Thank you to Jenny for being a phenomenal guest host and to Giulio and Brian for a really interesting discussion. We had a great time collaborating with AmerisourceBergen and Good Neighbor Pharmacy on another ThoughtSpot conference and trade show series, and look forward to partnering with them again for the latest and greatest pharmacy insights for independence. If you liked this episode, check out the other episodes in this year's ThoughtSpot series. We have an uplifting and hilarious discussion with three independent pharmacy owners who shared their unique experiences navigating the COVID-19 pandemic, and an informative conversation with three inspiring experts who are dedicated to addressing health disparities and leading the conversation on racism in healthcare. And as always, thank you for listening, and we hope to see you next time at the counter.